Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are, End Times Friday.
Good morning.
This is going to be aired April the 12th, which is the Friday before the tax day.
Woohoo!
Hey, everybody. And so I know everybody's praying that could we have the rapture today? Because then we don't have to worry about taxes. we're discussing you know, all the interesting thing that's happening in the world, and there's, you know, just thing after thing after thing. We've been discussing, of course, Israel, and Denny Weinberg's going to continue to join us monthly to talk about Israel.
Such a privilege to have him on, right?
And we'll keep going. Just a brief update on that is that, remember, because of the war with Hamas, Israel, with what's called their IDF military, has, I call the Israel Defense Forces, they've been chasing the leaders down of Hamas.
Right.
And so they've taken care of a lot of them. And of course, they've gone into hiding. And the way they hide is to occupy schools, hospitals, libraries, those mm-hmm. kind of things. And what they do, because they have the ability to, you know, have these tunnels and things, they move ammunition and guns and things in closets in these places.
Right.
So they're well armed, you know. And so they've discovered that a lot of them have fled to a place called Ramah, which is in Gaza. And so Netanyahu is putting together with his forces, by the way, supported by their country and in unity, is keep going until you eliminate those leaders. So because we don't want ever this to happen again,
mm-hmm.
And keep going. So they do. And of course, the world and particularly the United States is trying to say, you know, you should stop and just let them be. And they're saying, we understand what you're saying, but we're not doing it.
Right.
By the way, he said, neither would you.
Hmm.
Because it's an offense and a threat to our people. And so we have to protect our people. And so right now they haven't finished that initiative yet, but they are working on it, putting it together. They are trying to see if anybody is what they would call a civilian that doesn't want to get impacted by this will help you move out of the city so that it doesn't impact you. But, you know, certain people either can or cannot. And by the way, this is interesting. Israel, and I think it reflects, I think, the nature of God. They're sending in supplies to those people. Now,
right.
This is your enemy, but they do have a heart for them, and they're sending in supplies, and it's food, medicine, mm-hmm. you know, normal supplies that people need to function, and they have trucks that they are using to send them in. Well, the trucks are being attacked and stopped by Hamas.
Mm.
So, you know, and that's why Netanyahu is saying, wait a second. You guys said you needed help for your people. We're providing you help, and you're the one stopping that help from getting there.
Interesting, yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense, because the truth of it is that when you have a pure enemy, see, they don't care about anything but just winning.
Right.
So they really aren't what they say they're doing, which is, we'd like to help our people out. If they would like to help our people out, well, they should let all those trucks go in. mm-hmm. and supply their people.
And yet there's also other casualties of war going on. The World Central Kitchen sent in, you know, 3 truckloads of aid, humanitarian aid, and the Israelis did gun them down. Not sure. I haven't read if they have said how that transpired or what went wrong in all of that. But I know there were innocent aid workers killed that they're owning. At least they're owning that they're doing it. But
there's a dispute about that, too, in terms of
is there
who did what and is it real and have they really done it? And the one thing, and Denny said this, is if the Israel forces did something like what they call friendly fire, where they actually killed their own soldiers.
They will own up to it.
Up to it. In this case, they haven't fully owned up to it because they think it's propaganda of using...
Oh, interesting.
...of using AI to create visualization that wasn't really true.
Oh, interesting. I had not heard that part yet.
So it's not fully known yet. But if they did, they'll own up to it, and they should, you know, because it's it's not right. So it's... as we can appreciate, it's war isn't clean and pretty.
And AI certainly changes how things are perceived too, right?
Yeah, and the capability of it. So and there's no comment about it other than that's where things stand, is that they're continuing to pursue it. Nothing's been done. Iran, interesting enough, tried to do a little mini attack. And Israel snuffed it out and attacked them back, and they basically backed away and said, we're not going to pursue this because either we're not ready, we don't have the horsepower, it's not the right timing. So on the other fronts where they tried to do a little bit of attacking, this is Iran, this would be Hezbollah on the north, Lebanon, everybody has kind of just stopped. And Israel, they did retaliate, but it was immediate. And they said, if you're going to keep going, go ahead, let's go. And they said, I guess we'll wait. The whole thing is, remember, Israel is the center of attention. And ultimately, they do survive it, but the world comes against them.
Right.
And this may be part of it in terms of, why are you continuing a war that the world is saying you should have a two-state solution? And Denny, by the way, when he joins us, we'll talk about that further.
Right.
About that two-state
solution. Yeah, he's had some fascinating insight on that that puts it really in context, right? Yeah.
And then in the United States, what we're talking about is the uncertainty of things, and then what do we do about that and the implication of that. The United States and the economy... is starting to see some cracks on the consumer side where there are people getting laid off. The ability to pay for normal living has dramatically shrunk. And people who are, up to the 60-70% of the people in the United States are using credit cards to try to pay their bills, which means they don't have savings. And they're continuing pushing out their balances at higher interest rates.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I also read an article talking about how post-COVID we really have re-embraced this YOLO, whatever, you only live once, spending. And that's part of what's driving this credit card too, is not only the higher bills, but the people, Americans in particular, traveling at rates that they haven't traveled before, booking experience things in capacities that they haven't done before. And a lot of that is all being charged on credit cards.
Yes.
And so it's interesting, a little bit of the mental mindset that's going on, a little bit of a desperate cling to experience, right?
Yeah. And plus the, when they're thinking on it is, okay, I build up the credit card. There'll be a moment where I won't be able to pay it back. But so what? So I'll just file bankruptcy or whatever and start over. Or I'll negotiate with the credit cards because they do. And I operate as if it doesn't matter. And this is interesting because...
Which is modeled for us by our own
government. Yeah.
Imagine that.
That it's the populace embracing the way that we function as a country. Mm-hmm. And that is that today we're at $34 trillion in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dramatic doubling of debt in the last 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's accelerating at $1 trillion every 4 months.
That's crazy.
And so, first of all, nobody cares about paying it back and say, so what? And then the interest rate, which we do have to pay, because these are owned by basically foreign investors who buy treasury bills and mm-hmm. supply the money for the function of the U.S. government, and they continue to do it. Now there's two problems with that. One is we can be dependent on that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they ever decided, well, you know what, we're not going to do it anymore, we're kind of at a place, and we, by the way, I don't know if people watch this, but about every 3 to 4 months, because that's the rate of the debt, we're at a point where, and I don't know if you've listened, but it says the government's going to run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
And unless they raise the debt limit, the government will shut down because they can't pay their bills.
Right.
I
feel like this conversation is coming up constantly lately.
Well, because it's every 4 months. So mm-hmm. they have to meet. Both parties have to agree. Let's raise the debt limit. As a matter of fact, they've had a proposition in the Congress. You know, why don't we just avoid this nonsense? Why don't we just take away the debt limit and just borrow as much as you want to, whenever you mm-hmm. want to, which is, you know, maybe what they'll go to. But with the $34 trillion and then rising at $1 trillion every 3 to 4 months, the debt service is approaching $800 billion, $1 trillion, and it just passed, just a few weeks ago, it passed the level of the military spending in the United States. It's closely getting to the spending of healthcare by the government, funding of those things, and that's going to become, the interest payment will be the highest item on the budget that has to be paid, and it's taking more and more and more of the income that the government gets to fund it, which means they can't pay other things. And when they can't pay other things, they borrow more money.
Wow.
And it just keeps going on and on and on. So there'll be a moment, just like it will be for individuals who are borrowing on credit, where I can't pay it back anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, oh, so what? I'll just let it go. Well, see, we think there's an endless amount of capacity, but there'll be a moment where it'll be, you know what? It's going to start to shrink and collapse.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to speak of, is that there's a truth about that. Not many people are talking about it,
mm-hmm.
but the truth is there and is being presented. That,
right.
Hey, this is happening. Is anybody going to pay attention? And the moment is not. So the implication of that is this. It's happening. It's not reversible.
Mm-hmm.
There will be consequences to this. And what we're saying is, because of that uncertainty or the timing of that or when of that, we as believers need to understand that. Now, by the way, it could lead to a point where, as we look at the tribulation, before the tribulation, there has to be an economic collapse.
Right.
Because out of that comes the one world government.
The one world government.
That offers a solution that everybody says, I'm willing to give up my sovereignty for that. And by the way, the people in government will say, that's a good idea. We should do that.
Right. And you can certainly see how this would set that up, forward movement towards it anyway, whatever that timeline might be.
And if not, still because of the uncertainty of the economy and how it's going to impact me with my ability to pay for things and or have income, we keep saying, you know, we need to pursue the truth with God. And so... I just want to set this up biblically a little bit. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9.
Okay.
First of all, and this is a very famous verse that we use at Christmas time, but it has more to say about that. So go chapter 9, verse 2, all the way through to 7.
Sure. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Yeah. So this is, remember Handel's Messiah, mm-hmm. His name will be called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We all know these verses, mm-hmm. And it's really pretty cool. But it goes on, and it says, Christ is coming. His kingdom is going to operate in a superior.
Right.
And by the way, we talk about the end times, and our focus is on, boy, it looks like things are getting more difficult. And it could, and we all understand that. And I think if we talk to, most believers, are you concerned about the way things are going? And the answer mm-hmm. is yes.
Right.
The culture, the economy, the way we function, it's not great. And we're having all these things happen that we can't, fathom. But the good news is that God's kingdom is superior, which mm-hmm. is what he says, and it'll last forever. And he says he will establish, the government will be upon his shoulders, and government is ruling. So keep looking at, he is ruling because he's superior and it's in his kingdom, and he'll establish it with judgment and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Everything operates out of justice, what's right, what's of God, and judgment comes upon those that don't follow that.
Right.
And it's an absolute truth that we need to understand it, because it looks like, particularly the way the culture's going, we could just say it seems like the enemy is having a heyday, and why isn't God taking care of it?
Right.
And God says, I will, don't worry. but because of ultimately the way it's portrayed is that there will be an end times. Christ will mm-hmm. will return. There will be one girl government. There will be an Antichrist that steps up and said he's God, directed by Satan. God's wrath will come in mid-trib. At mm-hmm. the end of that, Christ returns and eliminates all that. And the kingdom of God now operates on earth physically. Now we still have unbelievers, remember, through the, it's called the millennium, mm-hmm. Who have a sin nature that have to receive Christ, but he's here along with many of us to get to rejoin him, and we're functioning in that beautiful spot of with humans who are physical, and we who are translated, who have the ability to be physical, but we can move and have this amazing capability to basically be in what we call Jacob's ladder. Mm-hmm. Is we're going back and forth between the spiritual and the physical. And it's really pretty cool. And by the way, Christ said, I'm Jacob's ladder. You're coming back and forth, on me.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
But the good news is that even as we're concerned about the end, the good news is that because Christ is ruler, yes, there's a battle. He isn't eliminating that right now, but ultimately he's victorious and sets things straight because the government is upon his shoulders and it's all based on justice. And then he goes on to say, you need to understand something here about what's the problem. So read verses 8 through 17, and it describes the problem and how we react to that.
The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of the heart, The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. Therefore, the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on. The Syrians before the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off the head and the tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. The elder and honorable, he is the head. The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly.
Yeah.
For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
Yeah. So because of justice, see, and he's really, he starts out and says that, I'm speaking to Jacob, I'm speaking to Israel, and see, they were his children, his holy nation. So he says, my priority is to speak to you, and in our situation, it would be I'm speaking to you, the church.
Okay.
You are, you know, my children, and he said, justice will stay. And he said the problem is around pride and arrogance of heart. Okay, think about how would you define pride and arrogance of heart?
Pride and arrogance of heart, you're focused on self and what we can do, you know, motivated by our ideas, our agendas.
What I've decided, how I'm going to work and operate, and by the way, I believe one of that elements of that today, particularly for believers, is we think political parties and people who are in these political parties are gonna be the saving element to return things back.
Right.
And God calls that pride and arrogance of heart because you're deciding what you think is the way to go.
Right.
But you're not seeking me. Because I might have a different thing, and I may need to show you it's in a different realm or a different dimension about the spiritual process, not a political process, or about the way the economy should go. And he says in verse 13, he said, the people do not turn to me, who is actually striking down this judgment because of it, and nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. And they're following prophets who is teaching lies and leaders who cause them to err. And see, think of, and by the way, he talks about this in Ezekiel. When a leader, when a prophet turns people away from God, how do they do that? Go ahead.
I was going to say, usually they're doing something that appeals to self.
Yeah. Yeah, is that I'm representing that I have the answers. And and see, what I don't do, if I'm a leader or a prophet that is pulling you away from God, is I'm not encouraging you to go to God.
Right.
I'm saying we know the answers, and we're holy, and we're righteous, and so follow us.
Right.
And what we say is the right thing to do. And God says, well, you're actually moving them away from me because you're causing them to err. And the simple error is you're not seeking me.
Right.
And that's why, you know, what we keep saying is we're trying to present information. We're trying to raise up the truth of what's really going on. And we're not afraid to do that. But we actually don't say do these three things. And this is what you should do, or make sure that you get the political parties aligned correctly, or look for them to provide you, you know, the return to what we would say is the right culture. But rather, we actually go the other direction and say, why don't you just seek God?
Right.
And don't be prideful and don't be arrogant and don't decide your own answer, which, by the way, a lot of it would be to neglect the truth. You know, for example, the whole economic situation or the debt we just talked about. Eh, what difference does it make? Who cares? And God says, well, there's a truth about that, and it's going to impact you. And by the way, today, right now, today, the economic scenario is impacting people because they're struggling with
Definitely.
The payment of things, and they're using credit to try to keep up, or they're worried about it, or they're concerned about it, and their savings are dwindling. And there's all kinds of things happening, and so there is implication to that.
Right.
And the key is that look at the truth. Don't be afraid of the truth, because God says, I'll guide you into the truth, and I can still deliver the covenant no matter what. So,
right.
You know, remember Israel got judged and they got captured by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylonia, and all those that he said, surrender and be willing to go, I'll give you the covenant life there. And he did.
Right.
It was different. It wasn't like they experienced. And they could have said, yeah, but we want to go back to Israel and have it the way it was. And God said, well, at the moment, that's not going to be the truth. The
right.
truth is I'll deliver the covenant, but I'll do it in a different way, because judgment had to come. And so as we just look at it, we just want to raise it all up and say that even the scriptures tell us that the justice, and remember, it's God's justice.
Mm-hmm.
And he really looks at it and says, ultimately, it's are you going to follow me or not?
Right.
If you follow me, you're going to receive justice. Don't worry. I'll get you there in the light of a very unjust society or unjust economy. I can get you there. So, you know, I just want everybody to start to pay attention. We'll spend more time on this, and there's biblical underpinning of this, as well as what's really going on in the world. And the only encouragement I would say is don't be neglectful. And,
right.
and neglectful is pride and arrogance. It's like, who cares? I'll just do I'll just do life the way I want to. And God says, well, you ought to care, because there's things happening. You need to be aware of them. Now, don't jump to answers, but let me show you in a better way. It'll be personal, which is kind of cool. So it's not there's not even a universal you should. It's just I'll tell you. Don't worry. But you got to learn. That's why you and I are so intense and intent on abiding.
Right.
If we can get you abiding, you'll be able to walk with him no matter what happens. And,
right.
And that's what we encourage everybody to
understand. Yeah, and even as we're teaching this series on hearing God's voice, so important. You know, I think about, I am sure there are listeners that are listening to this right now that are feeling trapped by their own economic mistakes, shortfalls, just what has happened, things that they haven't chosen even perhaps. But we both know that there is financial freedom in walking with God and abiding, and that he can lead you, not necessarily that all of these things are going to go away, but he can show you how to have financial freedom and to be stewarding what he has given you in the way that he intends, and can provide all your needs in that. And so again, just coming back to asking him, caring, not just brushing it aside, but taking it to him and letting him lead and walk you into this, you know, what we talk about, the Daniel generation. What does it look like to live in Babylon yet in God's favor? Right.
Yeah. And the element of that is God says, I'll do it even supernaturally. And that's why he says, don't even get caught up in the natural element of it. I can do things that nobody else can do,
right?
And I will deliver it to you supernaturally.
But you've got to come to me.
But you're going to have to walk with me in the kingdom, because my kingdom is superior. And he said the good news is it is going to be reestablished at the millennium in such a beautiful way that really our tribulation, which is trouble, and it's called the Great Tribulation, it's 7 years. And I believe we are raptured in there somewhere, certainly protected, that it's not really very long. And he said, actually get ready and prepare to follow me into it and through it. And guess what? It's going to be great, grand after that. You know, so don't fret.
Absolutely.
You know? So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful scripture out of Isaiah that we know, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is living, and upon his shoulders as a government. And so we just pray that we'll understand that, we'll trust it. Your kingdom is superior. You tell us that justice will prevail, and that we are to follow you and not be distracted into our own pride and arrogance, or to be led astray by not seeking you, but rather to seek you. So that's what we encourage everybody to pursue and to consider it and discuss it with their inner circles to let you guide and lead them. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich, and thank you for joining us. If you have questions from today's podcast, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Have a great weekend.
I'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.